Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. This takes on new meaning in our day-to-day, doesn't it? When we think about executive orders from the superior leaders in our country, whether it's a governor or the president, and they make these executive orders, and we cheer them on. We tell the president or the governor, yes, use your pen to limit or to squash something or other that we approve of. But then when some position, some person in that position makes out an order that we don't approve of, or the individual doing it we don't like, it suddenly becomes an overreach of government. Now, there's other people on the other side that have the exact flip feeling about those same circumstances. The ones that we're cheering on, they are opposing overreach of government. The ones that we are opposing, they're cheering on. Maybe we can liken it. You know, we say that overreach of government, he's using his pen to create legislation. You know, it's just those little things that begin to creep in and cause and wreak havoc. You know, our election, this past election, so many people are still grimacing over that election. I remember when I first heard, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I remember when I first heard that we were going to be using in different places a voting equipment that was designed overseas and even counted overseas. And my comment was, my feeling was at that time, why in the world would we allow that? Why would we allow a foreign entity to have control over the voting system with... Oh, sure, it may be state-of-the-art, but if they have control, and if they're counting, why would we do that? And so for years, we've heard of voter fraud and all kinds of things, and circumstances that may cause us to raise an eyebrow or to slam down a fist onto the table. What is going on with our elections? Until finally it comes to the head that it came to in just this past election, where if the little foxes had been rooted out and followed up with and dealt with, is it possible that we wouldn't be in the circumstances that we're in today? Now, I know that Song of Solomon is not written to the political environment of the United States. That's not what Solomon is referring to here in this passage. But to me, anyway, it gives a very vivid picture of what he is saying in the context of Solomon's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. J.R. Thompson shares some thoughts about this as well. He said, the Church of Christ is often assailed by mischievous influences. Mischievous influences. He didn't repeat that. I repeated it. Let me repeat it again. Mischievous influences. Don't you just love a mischievous little boy? Aren't they cute? Adorable? You look at some of these little boys, you look at some of these little girls, and there's mischief written all over their face, and it is absolutely adorable. But you and I know what happens when that mischievous spirit is not brought in and corralled, given direction to, what takes place. Here he's talking about mischievous influences that are deteriorating. Now let me read it further. often assailed by mischievous influences, like the enemies of the vineyard. Evil powers enter in and damage the spiritual blossom and threaten to destroy the spiritual vintage. It could be false doctrines, heresies, schisms, delusions, human ambitions, selfish habits, gross corruptions. He said it might be sins of worldliness. It might be a sin of unspirituality. I don't know exactly what he means by that, but I kind of wonder if he doesn't mean by unspirituality in a similar context that Jesus speaks about lukewarmness. Lukewarmness, unspirituality. Or it could be lax and sinful practice. Though apparently trifling, these mischievous influences may do great harm. Like the little foxes, the power of harmful influences must not be measured by appearances, by magnitude, but deflections from truth or from virtue may appear at first sight as slight and insignificant. May appear to be slight and insignificant. But the entrance of evil into Christ's church is like the letting in of water. What is at first a leak becomes a flood. What can we use as an example of that? As I read that, I immediately thought, there's a bunch of you that have RVs. You have campers of some kind. What about that little bitty hole in the roof or that little bitty hole in the side that you can't see, you don't know it's there until. Some of you remember when the boys and I was pulling the fifth wheel camper of my father-in-law's to Athens youth camp a number of years ago, and up around Fort Wayne somewhere, the skin began to peel off the side. What in the world would cause that? Was it an excessive amount of speed? No, I wasn't doing that. I don't think the truck and trailer or the rig would handle that. Come to find out that somewhere along the line, some water had gotten in and began to loosen that adhesive that was holding that vinyl skin to the side. And when air got in there, when enough of it broke loose and air got in, it just peeled it off. Then as they got into work on it, they found out how really bad it was. You had an RV that's had a leak in the roof. You don't know that it's there until perhaps great damage has taken place. And so as I read that J.R. Thompson was saying that it's like these things that are slight and insignificant, it's like letting in the water. Now, R.A. Redford, he kind of writes to the truest context of this passage, this verse. He's writing right into the context. He said, "The vineyard's beautiful and fragrant blooms point to her covenant of love and the foxes." If you want to read that that chapter in a different translation, I would encourage you to read it in the English Standard. It has quite an incredible way of presenting it and sharing it, and gives you a clarity back and forth in the conversation. And so here he is, he's talking about this Redford, "The beautiful with fragrant blooms point to her covenant of love, and the foxes, the little foxes, which might destroy those united vineyards point to all the great and little enemies and adverse circumstances which threaten to gnaw and destroy love in the blossom. Herod has reached the ripeness of full enjoyment. I don't know that I ever looked at that passage from that angle, seen it from that light. And as he's looking at it, as he is sharing and pointing to the truest context, and preachers would take it to the context of the church, or theologians would take it to the larger picture of the church, I think also that we can also see the context of the individual's spiritual life without damaging the context of the passage. I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah in chapter 21, verse 11, where the prophet is crying out, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" And when I bring that thought over here into this Song of Solomon verse that speaks about the little foxes that spoil the vines, I think of it this way. Christian, what of the varmints? Are you dealing with the little foxes, the little influences, the seemingly insignificant and even tolerable? Even tolerable influences that will begin to gnaw at the tender blooms of the vineyard of the soul. Watchman, what of the night? Christian, what of the varmints? And even as we look and see what writers all around from different vantage points, different ways of looking at it, they seem to all point back that here is a spiritual context that is taking place of these mischievous influences that would come in, try to come in, to gnaw and destroy what God wants. What God intends. Christian, what of the varmints? Let's stand together. I want to be aware. I hope you are as well. God, help us to be aware of those influences that would try their best to destroy us. Is every heart clear tonight? Sister Miriam, would you dismiss us in prayer?